Yes, Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon. Getting old, you know.
We all are. Oh,
yes. Yes.
It beats alternative.
Yes. Rabbi Gewertz has yahrzeit today for his mother. We dedicate the shir in her memory, Leah Pesha Bas Rabbi Yankev Yosef, and Dr. Krasna has yahrzeit for his father-in-law, Rabbi Yezer Zed ben Mordechai Yaakov. So we dedicate the shir in memory of the two niftarim. Last week, we started the fifth perek, which starts on Nun Beis on the base. And the Mishnah speaks about drawing the city limits in order to calculate the Alpayim Amo. So the Mishnah starts off with the word Ketzad Ma'avrim Ese'orim. And the Gemara said there are two ways to pronounce the word in the Mishnah, whether Ma'avrim, Aver, with an Aleph, or Ma'avrim with an Ayin. Sfardim know how to pronounce the difference between an Aleph and an Ayin. So the Gemara says there were two versions. Then the Gemara says on Nun Gim Lamed Aleph that there were two areas in Eretz Yisrael, B'nai Galilo, those who lived in the Galil, were not careful about the way they pronounce words. They were sloppy on their diction, and their minds were sloppy, and that's why they were not so matzliach in learning. And the B'nai Yehuda, those who lived in the middle, near Yerushalayim, they were more careful on their diction, and they were more careful on their choice of words. They were, and their minds were not so sloppy, and therefore they were matzliach more in learning. So the Gemara says, let's ask somebody for the Bnei Yehuda, who would be medayik in pronouncing the words. What is the tradition? What is the correct reading in the Mishnah? Not the correct reading, what's the pronunciation? Because the Mishnahis weren't yet written down at that time. So one day, if someone met somebody for the Bnei Yehuda, and he said there are two traditions, whether there are two correct traditions, whether it's with an aleph or with an ayin. So the Gemara Geta Veka Gansa discussion about the sloppy diction and the correct diction, and then the Gemara talks on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, a whole bunch of stories about people talking, yet talking, not talking. A whole lot. Maybe we'll leave all that out. We'll start from the last four lines on the daf, after the two dots. Rabbi Yossi Haglili came from the Galil. Rabbi Yossi Haglili came from Galil. So on one occasion, he bumped into Bruria. Bruria was Eshes Reb Meir. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Haglili habeka ozel biurcha. He was traveling on the road once. Ashkecha lebruria. He bumps into Reb Meir's wife. So he asks her, which is the direction that I take to travel to Lut? So she starts screaming at him, Amale Galili. Ah, the people from Galil, they don't talk properly. They're sloppy in their diction. They say extra words unnecessarily. The Gemara had a whole bunch of stories there which we didn't do, but the way they totally mispronounce words and people would misunderstand. So she screams at the Tana Rabbi Yosef Haglili, don't you know, Shaita, lo lekach omer chachamim al tar besichim ha'isha. The Mishnah says, b'ishto omer kal v'chamim b'eshes chaveiro. You're not allowed to talk sicha b'teila with a woman. What do you want him to do? He wants to know which way to go to Lud. There's a fork in the road. So what is, she was a character. Okay, she was a character. but still, Stama doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, no. He should have said a shorter sentence if he would be asking a man. So she says, I understand. You say a full sentence. Which road should I take to get to Lud? You say a whole sentence. But if you're talking to a woman, she's giving him musa. You should have said, Be'ezel lelud. You should have said it in a shorter. It's not incorrect to say Be'ezel lelud. That's, I guess, slang. Kitzer. So if you're talking to a woman, you should have said Bikitzer. So that's what the Mefarshim said, that she was making fun of him. Glili Shaita. Rabbi Yosef Glili come from Galil. The people in Galil, they're sloppy the way they talk, and this is part of their sloppiness. And when they talk to a woman, they don't know that you're supposed to be Mekatz. Altar B'sicha means Sicha B'teila, unnecessary chatting. If you have to talk about the investments, you have to talk about taxes, you have to talk about business, so that's not a nisa, that's not sikh. Sikh betel, stam chatter, stam to talk about the weather, things that are irrelevant. So then the Gemara says about talking, this Bruria, she was a character, Bruria ashkachte lahu talmida, the Gemara says she was always interested in learning, and they didn't have at that time, they didn't have schools for women to learn. The Chachamim, they didn't even have Beis Yaakov, so they were not too thrilled about women learning. But she was interested in learning. So the Gemara tells him, Sochem, I think, that she was standing outside of the Beis Medrash, and every Talmud who would come out, so she would ask him, tell me over the Mishnahs that you learned today. So one Talmud would tell her two Mishnahs, another Talmud came out and told her another two. So she would hear 100 Mishnahs, and that's the way she picked up all the learning. So the Gemara says she was always hanging around Bachram from the yeshiva, asking him to learn. So one occasion, Bruya Ashkachte, she won. Huh? Her husband didn't like it that she was learning. Her husband didn't like it. So she didn't listen to the husband. So she met Tahu Talmida, one of the, she was meeting all the time Talmidim. So there was one Talmud she met, Tahavi Kagoris Balachisha. He was learning Torah without pronouncing it out loud. Softly. Yeah. You see, bayas, it would mean the person reads in a book without pronouncing the words. In the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have any books. So what does it mean? So he's reciting Mishnayis, but instead of saying it loud that his ears should hear also, he only says it softly, so his mouth is saying and the ears don't hear. His mouth is working and his mind is working, but the ears are not participating in the learning. So she, Bachabay, so she gave him a kick. It's a character. She was older than him. So she gave the Bachar a kick and she says, Omale, you're not doing correctly. Kach Kosov, doesn't it say in the Pasuk in Novi, Arucha Bachol Ushmura? What does it mean? It refers to Liman Hatar, Im Arucha Baramach Evarim Shalcha Mishtameris. Mishtameris means, will you forget the Torah, will you not forget the Torah? Mishtameris means, will you retain the Torah? So if it's Arucha Bachol, if the Torah, when you learn Torah, you get all of your organs to get involved. So if you shuckle back and forth, so my back is involved. My whole, from the waist and up is involved. What am I going to shake my legs while I know? I don't know exactly how. And if you hold the place, you got like this, your fingers are involved, your eyes are involved. If you say the words, your mouth is involved. So if you say it loud enough that you can hear it, so your ears are involved also. You have to get as many of the Ramach Evorim involved in learning as possible. Imarucha b'Ramach Evorim, if all of the Ramach Evorim are participating in the Liman HaTorah, then it'll be Mishtameris, won't be forgotten. Imla, but if you're just reading B'Lachisha, ain't a Mishtameris. Tana de Gemara has a braisa. Talmid echad hoyel ole Rab Lozer, sho yishene belachash. The Tana Rab Lozer, Rab Lozer ben Yankif, or Rab Lozer, whatever the gears is here. If it's Rab Lozer, it's Rab Lozer ben Hurkinis. Rab Lozer is Tamas, Rab Lozer Hagar, Rab Lozer ben Hurkinis. The other gears on the side says Rab Lozer ben Yankif, that's a different Tana. So whatever, he had a student, sho yishene belachash, he always learned belachash, never pronounced out loud. Lacha gimel shanim, shochach talmud, he forgot everything. That's exactly what she said. That's what Bruria said based on her pasuk in Novi, that if the person doesn't have his ears involved in the learning as well, it won't be mishtameris, so it'll be forgotten. Tana, another brisa says, Tamerachon hoyel ole Rab Lezer shenischai b'sreifa l'amokim. He did an avera for which he deserved a punishment. What avera did he do? Omru, so they said ben hashamayim, even though he deserved the punishment, amisa b'dei shamayim, nischai b'sreifa l'amokim to the Rabban Shalom, Omru, apparently the Malachim said, Hanicholai, we shouldn't punish him because he was a Talmud of Rab Lezer, Orm Gorol Shimon. Since he was Mishamish this Tana, so we're going to give him a break, we're not going to punish him. What Avera did he do that he deserved such a punishment? So some of the Mefarshim say, it was Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. So how do they know? It's very unclear. Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. So if he was Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabbi, so why does he get off the hook? Because Orem Gorol Shimesh, the Gemara says that the two sons of Aharon died. It says that Nadav Avihu died. And it's very unclear what Avera they did. So we had the Gemara earlier in Erevin. The Gemara said one Tana was of the opinion that they were Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabbim. They paskin in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. No, they were Mishamish Moshe Rabbeinu. And they didn't get off the hook. So why did this Talmud of Rab Lezer, if the Avera that the Talmud did was that he was Meir HaLoch B'Fnei Rabba, that's why he was Mischaiv Sreif HaLamokim, so why was he not punished by the Malachim because Orem Gorol Shimish, not Vavir Mishamish Moshe Rabbeinu? It doesn't say what Avera. So the Gemara continues on this theme that it is an Inyan when you learn to pronounce out loud so the ears will be involved as well. So the Gemara says, Omar Shmuel, Rab Yehuda. Rab Yehuda was an Amara who was a Talmud of both Rab and Shmuel. He learned by both. Rab and Shmuel had yeshivas in two different cities. At first he learned by one, and when he passed away, They learn by the others. Half the time you have Amar Rabbi Yudah Marab, and half the time you have Amar Rabbi Yudah Mishmuel. Rabbi Yudah is saying over things both in the name of Rab and in the name of Shmuel. So Shmuel, once when he was learning by Shmuel, so he told him, Shinano. Shinano means Sharpie. He was very sharp, this student, Rabbi Yudah. He says, Psach Pumech Kari. Open up your mouth and pronounce with a clear diction Tanakh, Kari. To pronounce Mikra. Psach Pumech Tani. Open up your mouth and recite the Mishnayos clearly, with a correct diction. You shouldn't slur the words, and you should say it in a loud voice, that your ears will hear it as well. In order that the Pasuk, you should remember the learning. The Terechai, you should have an Arichas Yomim. Where do you get this idea that Tiskayim Bich, that if you say the learning out loud, you won't forget it? That's what Bruria said based on her Pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Arucha b'akol shmura. Shmura means it'll be mishtameris, you won't forget it. And where did Shmuel get his idea from? Based on a different pasuk in Mishlei. Many of the psukim in Mishlei are talking about limud haTorah. Many psukim in Mishlei are not explicitly talking about limud haTorah, but they're interpreted by the Gemara is referring. So the Gemara is going to quote a lot of psukim here. Some of them are explicitly talking about chokhmah. Chokhmah is limud haTorah. And others are interpreted as referring to limud haTorah. See, this one is limud haTorah. That if a person learns Torah, it'll bring chayim and it'll bring healing. It'll bring healing. So he has a comment. Shmuel tells the student Rabbi Yudah, he has a comment on the pasuk. Atikri lemotzo ehem ela lemotzi ehem. Motzi ehem means lemotzi ehem befer. Those who pronounce the words with their lips, that'll bring chayim heim lemotzi ehem. It'll bring arichas yomim and it'll bring healing as well. So this was one advice that he gave. The daf is going to give a lot of advice about learning Torah, but just derech agav, they were talking about Shmuel giving advice to this student Rabbi Yudah about learning Torah, so they quote another line that Shmuel told Rabbi Yudah, not about learning Torah, about enjoying Olam Hazeh. So the Gemara says, Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yudah Shinina, he always referred to him as Sharpie. Chatof yachol, chatof yishti. Try to chaparain as much food as you can. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. That's what he tells him. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Chatov achol chaparain and eat delicious food. Chatov yishti drink. The alma di azlina minei. This world that we're going to all leave. We're all going to die. We're all going to leave the world. This is kihilula damya. It's like a smorgasbord at a chasana. Hilula is like a chasana. So you got to grab. If you don't grab, then you're not going to get anything to eat. It's a strange comment. Usually the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos tell you the Memchez Dvarim Shatar Niknas Behem. So it says Miyut Tanugim and Miyut Achila, Miyut Shtila, and then it says Kachi Darkei Shel Torah, that the way one is Matzliach is Pas Mamelach Torchol Ma'im Mamzur Tishta. You shouldn't try to get too involved in Olam Hazeh. Very strange statement that he has. There's a famous Rashash in Yevomis. The Rashash was a wealthy balabos. He was the Rosh HaKohol in he was the president of the Vilna Kehillah when the Vilna Shas was being printed. That's why his Horus on the back. He was the Rosh HaKohol at that time, and he was a wealthy man, and the Netziv was a very poor person, and he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin. So on one occasion they met. So the Rashash asked the Kasha, he writes this in his comments on Yevamos, he asked the Kasha of the Netziv that was bothering him for years. So the Netziv gave him an answer right away. So that's what the Rashash quotes. Yes, it's Kashat the Netziv. He writes the answer that he gave. The rest of the story, he doesn't relate. So Rav Zevin has this in his Sefer Isha Meshitas, when he depicts different Gedolim, and he writes about the Derech Aliman, and he gives a little bit about their biographical background. So he says the rest of the story is that the Rashash was bothered by this. How can it be that it bothered me so many years and this teretz never occurred to me and you thought of the teretz right away? So he asked the Netziv, so the Netziv told him, you're a wealthy balabos and you live in luxury and you sleep on a comfortable bed and you eat delicious food and you enjoy life. And I'm very poor and my bed is not comfortable and my food is not comfortable. So one who learns Torah without the extra tanugas of Olam Hazeh will be more matzlich and learning. That's what it sounds like in the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos. And that Mishnah, pas kachi darke shel Torah, pas ba melech tochel, ma'im ba mesura tishte. So the Rishonim have two interpretations, whether it refers to a wealthy person, that a wealthy person should only eat pas ba melech tochel, ma'im ba mesura tishte, ba'al horetz tishan, should sleep on the floor of a chayitzar tichya, that goes on wealthy people, they shouldn't they shouldn't even enjoy Olam Hazeh at all. Oh no, the Mishnah refers to a poor person. A wealthy person should be memayit b'tanugim, shouldn't sleep on the floor. A wealthy person should be memayit b'miut tanugim. The next Mishnah says the men chazdor maktar niknas, and one of them is miut tanugim. Not that you shouldn't have an osa Olam Hazeh at all. The Mishnah is referring to poor people. If a person is poor, and the only way he will be able to learn is if he has pas b'melach, ma'im b'msura, so the Mishnah says he's still mechuyif to learn. You shouldn't say, I'm not going to learn, I'm going to go get a job in order to have a more comfortable bed, in order to have more delicious food. No, even if you're poor, you should still learn. So the Mefarshim said the Medrash Mu, right? So on that Mishnah, that simple pshat is that the Mishnah goes on an ani, not on an osher. It doesn't go that an osher should also eat pas b'melach teichol. Because the next Mishnah says, b'miut tanugim. It doesn't say you shouldn't have tanugim el mazeh at all. But it should talk about b'miut tanugim. No, so Americans, I don't know. In America, miut tanugim. Who has miut tanugim? You go to a bar mitzvah, you go to a chasana, they have 25 meals in one. Desserts and entrees and everything. We don't have any miut tanugim. In America, they're not miut tanugim. So this Gemara is very strange. What does the Gemara mean? Shmuel tells his student Rav Yehuda, chaparayin and eat, chaparayin and drink, olam hazeh, that we're all going to die, is doimet to achasana, you better chaparayin. And the same thing, that's what Shmuel told his student Rav Yehuda. Rav made such a similar statement to his student. He says, omalei Rav, the Rav Hamnuna, Rav told one of his students also, b'ni, emiyesh locha heitev loch. If you have money to buy food, enjoy yourself. Shame b'shol tainug. After you die, you're going to be buried. There's not going to be any hanos olam hazeh. And don't assume that you live longer and you'll be able to enjoy yourself next year and next week. No, you better chaparay now. Ve'elam avis is mameya. You don't know how long you're going to live. You better chaparay now. Tim taimar. And if you have a lot of money, don't decide to leave it over for your children. That's what the Gemara says. That's basically a pasuk in Koheles. Pasuk Shlomo HaMelech tells the people that they shouldn't leave over the money to their children, because what are their children going to do? You think your children are going to carry over in your shittas and your hashkafas? You can never trust your children. Maybe they'll have a different hashkafa and they'll be spending all that hard-earned money that you put away in the bank and you were zhalavan, you were saving on yourself and you didn't want to spend it. So your children are going to waste it. They're going to go to the movies. They're going to do narishkeit. You have money, so spend it now. Many of the Bali Musa used to do like that. They didn't have so much money to begin with. There wasn't such a meduvah, so much money. But they would spend all of the money during their lifetime. Based on this Gemara, based on that pasuk in Koheles, he says, "V'mtayma aniach lebanai chok bishol." And if a person will think, let me leave over some money for my children, they'll have food. Well, I'll be buried. Well, I'll be 6 feet under, so at least my children will be taken care of. So he says, "Mi yagelacha." Who says that they're going to do the right thing with the money? How do you know? They may use the money for improper purposes. He says, "Beniyadim damim leizbe hasode." It's just like the grass on the ground. People are similar. Halolo notzim, halolo novlim. Some of the grass is sprouting. Some of the grass is dying. So there are people dying and people born all the time. Don't leave over any money for your children. They write in the biography, Rabbi Saul Salanti didn't have so much money to begin with, but he had a couple of svarim. So towards the end of his life, he gave everything away, but he needed svarim to learn at home, so he borrowed svarim from the shul, and when he died, he had totally penniless. He had nothing. And he considered this a mila, based on this gemara. If a person has money, wants to give it to tzedakah, so give it to tzedakah while you're alive. Give it away while you're alive. Why do you have to wait till after you die? Nunu. Strange Gemara.
Can you remind me that Hashem calls
right, the Mesillas Yerushalmi quotes that from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Asid Adam Litan Din V'chol, each person is going to give a Din V'cheshbin on all the Hanos and Elam Hazeh that he could have enjoyed that he didn't enjoy. Right, the Mesillas Yerushalmi has a whole chapter on precious and abstention, abstaining from Hanos Elam Hazeh. So he quotes 20 Mekoros that say you should enjoy Olam Hazeh, all of these Gemaras. He quotes many Gemaras like that. Then he quotes all the contradictory Gemaras. And then he says that the teretz is Hanos Olam Hazeh that are necessary. To the extent that it's reasonably necessary, look, you have to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper, so you shouldn't fast Taneisim in a ridiculous fashion. But more than that, to have extra hanoras al hamazeh, that's not. That's a famous essay in the Mesillas Yisroel al Aprishus. In fact, Achad Ha'am wrote the exact same essay. He lifted all the Marmakim straight, lock, stock, and barrel from the Mesillas Yisroel in the same order. Exactly the same order. Because the audience that he wrote for didn't read Mesillas Yisroel.
Plagiarism, they didn't know it.
Yeah, I remember many years ago, 50 years ago, I remember when I was a teenager, some conservative rabbi wrote a book review. Some conservative rabbi published a book. I read the review of the book. Some conservative rabbi published a book on Achad Ha'am that most of his essays were all plagiarized. The audience that he wrote for and he presented his papers for, they didn't know French and they didn't know whatever other languages that he read. He read books by sociologists in French and other languages, and he just translated into Hebrew what they said without giving credit. So the same over here. This is a famous essay by Achad Ha'am on Precious, where he writes exactly the same as Mesillas Yisroel. Every Maimon Chazal in the same order that it's quoted in the Mesillas Yisroel. Yeah, so the Gemara, you don't get that impression that he's telling him to enjoy Olam Hazeh to the extent that it's necessary. It sounds like he's encouraging him to go into against the Miyot Tanugin. The simple pshat in the Gemara is that it's strange. I don't know. Shmuel had started quoting psukim from Mishlei about the zgulas of liman haTorah, that when a person learns Torah properly, it'll bring arichas yamim, it'll chob sara marpi, it'll be healing to the body. If he has any sicknesses, so the liman haTorah will heal him. So the Gemara continues in that theme. Amar Rabbi Shulam Alevi, a mahalach baderech, if a person is traveling on the road, ve'enim o leviyo, and he has nobody to go with him. And the Gemara says that if you have leviyo, someone is malavi you on the road, so this will serve as a protection. The mazikim won't start up with him. So what should the person do if he doesn't have any leviyo? So yasek bater, let him learn Torah, and that'll serve as the leviyo shenem, as the pasuk says in Mishlei. It says, ki livyas chein heim l'roshecho. The pasuk pshat in the pasuk is means something else. It does mean that liman haTorah is leviyah. It's not accompanying you. It means that learning, if a person is intelligent and learned, so that's another mila. So people will look at him; they'll have more respect for him. Just like if a woman wears jewelry and she wears beautiful dresses, so it enhances her good looks. So if a person is intelligent and learned, so that will enhance his presentation, that'll enhance his personality, like one who's wearing jewelry. So the Gemara is interpreting an additional level of interpretation, Livyas Chein. Livyas Chein is min Loshen Leviyah. That the Liman haTorah is like Livyas Chein Heim L'Roshecha. So it's like Leviyah. Then the Gemara continues to comment on that pasuk. What if a person has a headache? So what should he do to get rid of the headache? So we would take an aspirin. So the Gemara says, Chosh B'Roshoi, if a person has a headache, Yasek B'Torah. The adult makes fun, they say, he'll learn Torah, he'll realize he doesn't have a head. Yeah. So how can he have a headache if he doesn't have a head? But that's not what the Gemara means. That's Yiddish, in Yiddish Witzen, they say like that. Chosh B'Roshoi, Yasek B'Torah, shall learn Torah, Nischus of Liman haTorah, he'll be healed. Why? As the pasuk says, Ki Livyas Chem Heim L'Roshecho. That the learning, that's a description of the Sgulas of Liman haTorah, that if a person learns Torah, it'll be good for his head. Chosh Bigrona, what if he has a sore throat? Vayta Yasek B'Torah. As the pasuk continues to say there in Mishlei in chapter Aleph, in chapter 1, Vanokim L'Gagare Secho. What it really means is, just like if a woman is wearing a beautiful necklace and wearing earrings and wearing nose rings, wearing all the jewelry, so it enhances her good looks. So if a man learns Torah, it's aldera hamashal, it's as if he would be putting on all of this jewelry on his body. It enhances his presentation. But the Gemara is taking it literally, v'anokim legagare secho, that the anokim means like a necklace for your neck. So the Gemara says, if you learn Torah, it'll be healthy for your throat. Chosh b'meyav, what if he has a bellyache? Vayta yasek b'tar shenema, rifus tehi l'sharecha. It'll be a refuah to your l'sharecha, for your stomach. Chosh b'atzmaisa, what if all of his bones feel weak? Vayta yasek b'tar shenema, the pasuk continues there, mishlei, v'shikri l'atzmaisecha. It'll give strength to your bones. Chosh b'chol gufoy, if he has pain in any part of his body, is vayta yasek b'tar shenema, l'chol b'sara marpe, that liman haTorah gives refuah to the whole body. It means in the schus of liman haTorah, he should have a refuah.
they could have used them as also for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Marshall, also, libertarians about Mechetes Kriv, it weakens the person. It's the opposite.
Yeah. It weakens, but it's a refuah for sicknesses. It'll be weaker. It'll be Talmud Chacham will be weak, but he won't be sick. Yeah. Then the Gemara says that the limud haTorah is for everybody, not necessarily the most difficult Gemaras with Tosfos with Marshal for everybody, but there's a chelik in Torah that anyone can. Some people will learn on Yankiv, other people will learn Tehillim, other people will learn Pirkei Avos, other people can learn Mavis Sedra every week. With this, with the Ramban is complicated, with the Arachaim is Kabbalah, with Rashi is easier. There's a chelik in Torah for everybody. There's what to learn for everybody. A person should never think that Torah is not for him. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Abchiya, Borei Shalok Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basav Adam. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells us that Limud HaTorah is good for a headache, is good for a bellyache, is good for a sore throat, it's good for the bones weak, it's good for everything. Is there such a thing? A medication that you buy in the drugstore that's good for everything and it doesn't have any negative effects on anything? So that's what the Gemara says, a Basav Adam, a human being who has a refuah, so Adam Noisin Sam Lachaveiro, a drugstore gives you a medication, a prescription of something, is lazer yafa v'lazer kosher. For some people it'll cure them, other people won't cure them, other it'll cause problems. A lot of the medications cause problems, they have bad side effects. Avol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gives you this refuah of limud haTorah, ain't a king. Dosen Torah Yisrael, sam chaim l'chol gufa, good for all the organs, is good for everybody. It's not that for some people it's good, for other people it's no good. Different part had no negative side effects. But each person has to learn a different chelik of Torah. It's not that the same chelik of Torah is for everybody. The Gemara quotes that last pasuk, l'chol b'sar ha'mar, is good for the entire body. Then the Gemara is going to go back to remembering the Torah. That's where Bruria kicked the Talmud, that was on the top line, she kicked the Talmud, and she was giving a mussar that it's only going to be Arucha Bakol Ushmura. When will it be Mishtameres? When will you succeed in not forgetting the Torah? Only if it's Arucha Baramach Evarim, if you recite the Torah, you learn it by heart. And that's the whole secret? So the Gemara is going to say, no, there are more conditions that you have to have in Limud haTorah in order that you shouldn't forget it. So the Gemara says, Amar Abami, on the second wide line, my dichsiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk Vayter Mishle? Kinoim, the Torah is very pleasant. Kisishereim bivet necha, when you preserve the Torah, you don't forget it. Yokonu yachtav al svasecha on your lips. And yokonu yachtav means if you have all of the Torah all together, everything in its proper place. Not that you have ongevarf and a person knows a lot about one thing and nothing is in proper perspective. If he knows all the Torah in a mesudadika fashion. So that's what he says. Emas aydivere Torah noyim. When is the limanat noyim? When is it pleasant? Bizman shetishmerem bivitnecho. When you remember all of the Torah. Ki noyim, the Torah is pleasant. Kisishmerem, when you remember it. If you're going to forget it, if you're going to forget half of the things that you learned, then it's not pleasant. And when is it going to be pleasant? That's only yikona yachdav al svasecha. The emas aytishmerem bivitnecho. When will you succeed in remembering the Torah, not forgetting it? That's only mizman shiyikona yachdav al svasecha. It has to be al svasecha. That's what Bruria said. You have to pronounce it with your lips. And she said, she told the Talmud he has to pronounce it loud, not just softly. He was pronouncing it belechisha. So she said, you have to say it loud. But it should also be yikona yachdav, it should be in a mesudadika fashion, not dongevarfim. That's what the Gemara says, v'yolam yishalish odom shnoisav shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishna, shlish b'gemara, shlish b'talmud. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, when a person learns Torah, he should try to learn in an organized fashion, so his knowledge should be mesudadik. Diversified. He shouldn't learn only Kachim. He shouldn't learn only Taurus. He should learn a little bit of Tanakh and a little bit of Halacha Lamaisa, a little bit of Pilpul, and he should develop in all the areas at the same time. He shouldn't only concentrate on one area, know that very well, and be empty and not know anything about the other area at all. He should try to have a mesudadik fashion of learning. So that's what it means. Yikona yachtav al svasecha. It should be al svasecha, but it should be yikona yachtav. It should be all together. So it's just such a similar comment the Gemara makes on the next pasuk. Gabzei rama mehocha. Similar idea, based on a different pasuk. Also on Mishle. Simcha leish b'man epiv. A person will rejoice when he's able to give the correct answer. Somebody asks him, what's a din? So he'll give the correct answer. V'dava b'ito mato. What does it mean? Emas ha'simcha le'ish. When is a person happy over the fact that he knows how to learn Torah? Is mancha not of the people. And people will ask him, what's a din? He knows how to give the correct answer. So he'll feel very happy about that. Lishnachrina, another version has it. And when is it going to be man of the piv? That's where the Gemara is going to continue. When will he know how to give the correct answer? If it's going to be dava bita matov. So that's what he continues. Emas ha'sim chalish b'man piv. When will a person rejoice over the fact that he knows how to learn, that he knows how to give the correct answer? That's bizman shadava bita matov. When it's coming Rosh Hashanah, so he learns in Yoni Rosh Hashanah. Rashi says when it comes Yom Kippur, he learns about Yom Kippur. When it's dava bita, not that he's learning psachim a whole year. Not that he's learning Yuma a whole year long. He should, for Shabbos, before Shabbos, he should learn Hilchas Shabbos. When it's time to daven, he should learn Hilchas Tfila. He should learn those dinim that are relevant. If it's going to be Dovah Bita Matov, then he will be more successful in Liman Atur. Ab Yitzchak has another comment that the Hatzlocha and learning will be Kikorei Ve'lecha. Also, they're all insisting on pronouncing the Torah with your lips and saying it loud that you should hear. So he says, the Pasuk says in Chumash, Kikor v'lecha dova miyod b'ficho uvilvavcho la'asoso. That's a problematic Pasuk. It's very unclear what the Pasuk is referring to. It's speaking about ki ha-mitzvah hazos asher anochi mitzav chayom. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you is lo recha kehi v'lo me'ev lo yam. It's not such a difficult mitzvah. No, it's an easy mitzvah. It's close, it's easy for you. So which mitzvah is it referring to? So the Gemara seems to say it's referring to the mitzvah of Liman HaTorah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the Ramban HaChumash says it's referring to the mitzvah of doing tshuva, mitzvah of tshuva. And other Mefarshim talk about other mitzvahs. It's very unclear which mitzvah. The Gemara, this Gemara is interpreting the Pasuk as referring to Ki HaMitzvah Mitzav Chayam, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's easy to learn Torah. What beficho ubilvavcho la'asosa? What says beficho? You shouldn't just read a sefer and read in your mind. That's not enough. It looks funny today in America. Everybody reads quietly. The non-Jews read the university. They read books quietly, and we're supposed to read out loud. We're supposed to pronounce the words with our lips loud enough that we should be able to hear. When will you succeed in learning? When is it easy to learn? As much as when the person pronounces with his lips. Rav Amar Mehocha, Rav says he has another source from another pasuk also about the importance of learning Torah. The kol, he should pronounce it with his lips and say it loud. Tavas libon asatalo. And Tehillim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gei will honor the request of the person. The person asks for hatzlocha and learning. So the Rabbanu Shalom will grant him that hatzlocha. When is that? Baresh Esfasas Balmanai Tosela. Emas, I see, interprets the pasuk. Emas, I tavis libon nasatalo. When will the Rabbanu Shalom give him hatzlocha and learning? If that's what he's interested in, that's provided on the condition is mancha. Baresh Esfasas Balmanai Tosela. If he pronounces with his lips the learning, then he will succeed in learning Torah.
Is Rav the same thing with the Vitzchok, or is just saying additional?
Different pasuk. He's saying the same idea. Mehocha. Each one says from another pasuk, but they're basically all saying the same thing that the Gemara said before, that a person should be medaktik. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei. Not the Mishnah. There are five prokem in Pirkei Avos, and the last perik is a brisa. Shana Chachamim b'lushayna Mishnah. That's how it starts off. The last perik vav is only a brisa of Kinyan Torah.
If each one brings another pasuk, there must be some special nuance. Each pasuk is different than the other.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I don't know. I didn't look into it. So that in the last perik of Pirkei Avos, perik vav, said list off the mem ches dvarim shatar niknas bem. It says gedoy latar yosem in akuna v'yosem in amalchus, that there are no prerequisites for kahuna. Your father's a kohen and he gave birth. I'm born, so I'm a kohen. Right? My father was a melech and my father dies and they make me the melech. But no, they may not appoint me as a melech. I'm stupid. I don't know politics, so they won't appoint me as a melech. Okay, but strictly speaking, there are no prerequisites. Sometimes they appoint a president of the United States who's lacking a lot of seichel, a lot of prerequisites. So the Mishnah says that there are no prerequisites. That when a person is a kohen, so he's there a chof dalad matnas kuna. When a person is a melech, so there are 30 schusim that the melech has. The Mishnah doesn't. The 24 matnas kuna, there are brises all over in the Gemara that You have to collect all the 24. There's Truman, there's Pidyon HaBen, and there's Chala, and there's Korban Chatas and Korban Hashem. Everything adds up to more than 24. So the Rishonim all have to work hard to figure out, why did the Chazal say that only 24 matzahs good? They're more than 24. Okay. And the 30 in Yonim that a Melech gets, it's also based on Psukim and Sefer Shmuel when they requested a Melech. And you add up the Psukim and Chumash, and the Melech has Kesev, and Zob, and Susim, and Noshim, and a Sefer Torah that he writes. You add everything up that it says regarding a Melech, so it adds up to 30 things. So that's, if you are a Melech, you zechet to 30 things. If you are a Kohen, you zechet to 24 things. But here the Mishnah says, the men chazdra ma'atara niknas bem. There are 48 prerequisites in order to succeed in learning. So the first prerequisite is Talmud, that he has to harven, he has to have yegiya, and he has to work hard. And then the next one is arichas vasayim. So the mefarshim on the Mishnah says arichas vasayim means he should pronounce with his lips, and it should be arichas vasayim. It should be mesader the information. A lot of times when a rebbe gives a shir, a rav gives a shir for balabatim. So a lot of times, in order to gain the attention of the listeners, so I'll start from left field. I'll start telling a story, or start asking a shaila, and then after he comes from a different inyan, then he'll come back to this inyan over here that he wants to teach. So when the Talmud chazes, when the listener chazes the shir, he doesn't have to chazer in the same order that the Rebbe presented the shir. He should do arichas vasayim. He should rearrange the information in a logical order. He already doesn't need the gimmick to get the attention of the listeners. He should rearrange it in his mind. So that's what the Mefarshim explained. That's called arichas vasayim. It should be bisvasayim. When he chazes, he should pronounce it with his lips and loud enough that he should hear. Chaim heim lemotziyehem. And it should be by arucha. Arucha means in an organized fashion, systematic. He doesn't have to review it in the same way the rabbi gave the shir. So that's what the Gemara is quoting, all these psukim and Tanakh that all lead to the same direction, that the proper thing is when a person learns, he should pronounce the learning with his lips. So the Gemara had this pasuk in Tilim, Tavas libon asata l'reshes fasa b'amenai tasela. So the first part the Gemara says is that the pasuk is referring to Tavis liban asatala, Kodesh Boch granted the request of the person who wants to be successful in learning. Why did he grant the request? Because I rush as fasov. Because the fellow pronounced the learning with his lips. Now the Gemara has another comment. Rava Rami, the same Rava who interpreted that pasuk in Tilin, is referring to liman haTorah. So now he says the pasuk sounds like it's referring to tefillah. Taibas libo nasatalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants the request that the person has what he's asking in his heart. We all ask things of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some of us ask in our heart, we never mention it in the tefillah when we damish mon esri. We don't add on a specific bakasha for this particular thing. And some people add it on in the shmon esri. Our reshes fasov, balmanai tasel, the Baruch Shalom grants the request that the people pronounce with their lips. So that he... So Rava takes this as a contradiction. The first half of the pasuk says, Rava Rami, Rava said it seems to be a bit of a contradiction. Ksiv on the one hand, the first half of the pasuk says, Tavas liban asatalo. If a person has a desire in his heart, even if he didn't request it of HaKadosh Baruch Hu explicitly, so the Ribbono Shel Olam will grant his request even though he never explicitly asked for it. And the second half of the pasuk says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only grants the request if he formally pronounces it with his lips, vareshes fasov, what he asks for with his lips, balmanai tasela. So which is it? Do we have to really pray with our lips, or if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can read our minds, he can read our hearts, so he'll already grant the request that we have in our minds? So that's where Rava says it depends. If zocha, if the person deserves it, Rashi writes zocha means if he has a mazel tov, if he's fortunate. Okay, if he has a mazel tov, if he's lucky, he's fortunate, so the Baruch Shalom will answer your requests even if you never formally pronounced it with your lips. He just had something in mind, so the Baruch Shalom will answer that request. Zocha taivas liban asatala. If lo zocha, if you're not fortunate, then the Baruch Shalom will only grant your request if you actually ask for it explicitly. Then aresha svasa b'amanai tasela. So Rav himself is giving two interpretations in the pasuk of aresha svasa, whether it's the second interpretation, he's saying the two halves of the pasuk in Tehillim are both referring to tefillah. Some people just say the Shemoneh Esrei and they have things in mind. As they're saying the Shemoneh Esrei, they don't explicitly request things, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers their prayers anyway. He answers their wishes. And other people, only will have their requests answered if they explicitly mention them. In the first drosha that Rabbi gave on the pasuk, he says the pasuk is talking about hatzlocha and learning. He doesn't say it's talking about prayers being answered.
That's just difficult because Israel are above Mazel, and the zocha usually means it is deserving.
Yeah.
Merit.
Zocha means he merits, yeah. So why does Rashi say if he has a mazel tov? It's a strange Rashi. I don't know what he means by that.
Both.
Imri fi and Hagyon Libi, both, yeah. If it'll be Zocha, it'll be Hagyon Libi. If it'll be Zalai Zocha, it'll be Imri fi. He has to request it. Yeah. The pasuk is Ter Mikro Bani Ena, Od Himadar Bani Eshma. Before they even request HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, that's a debt of Zocha. And then, Od Heimedabrim, they do have to say, but as they're requesting. And then, a third Madreg will be the Rabbanu Shlomo will wait till after he finishes the whole request, and then he'll grant the request. It depends how much Zocha the person is. Then the Gemara has a comment on Tanakh in general. Tanu Beir Ablezer Be Yankiv, Kol Mokam Shenema Netzach Selava Ed. If you have a pasuk that has one of these three words, it means Ein Lo Hefsek Alomis. It means that that'll be forever and ever. How do you know that any one of these three phrases, these three terms, have that connotation? Netzach Tichsiv. You have a pasuk in Novi Kiloli Olam Ariv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be angry at the Rishonim forever. They'll do tshuva, and that'll be the end of it. So the pasuk says, "Lo li'olam arif." I will not fight with the Rasha forever. La'olam, and then it's repeated again. "Lo la'netzach hektzav." The Rabban Shalom says, "I will not be angry at the Rasha forever. He'll do tshuva, and that'll be the end of the story." So you see that la'netzach has the same connotation as li'olam. La'netzach means li'olam void. How do you know that selah means forever? As the pasuk says, "Kasha Shemayinu Keinu, Inu Bir Hashem Tzvokas, Bir Lekeinu Elikim Yichananeho Ad Oilam Sela." Hakadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that Yerushalayim should be built up and should be lasting forever. Ad Oilam Sela. So you see that the word Sela has the same meaning as Ad Oilam. Adi No Voed, that Voed means forever. And Eben Dichsav Hashem Yimloch Liolam Voed. And we assume that it does mean that God will only rule over the world for a couple of centuries or a couple of millennia. It means forever and ever.
Yeah.
The Rishonim discussed, the Raman has one of the 13 Ikori Ha'emuna, is that the laws of the Torah are binding forever and ever. So it's also, the Rishonim says, based on Psukim and Chumash, where these expressions appear. That the Chumash says that the laws are binding Selo and Voed, Psukim and Novi, like that. So it means that it's binding throughout all the generations. Now Gemara goes back to the previous pasuk. This whole sugi is about the chashivas of liman hatera. So the Gemara was quoting psukim from Mishle Perik Aleph. So now they're going back to that. Omer Abloza Ma'adich Siv Vanokim Legagore Secho. That if a person learns Torah, it'll enhance his presentation, his personality, just like Anokim Legagore Secho, just like a necklace around his neck. What is the comparison to the necklace? So the Gemara says like this: when a person, women, some women wear a choker, something that's very tight. Most of the women wear a necklace. A necklace is not so tight. Necklace hangs loose. So the Gemara says there's some Talmid HaChachamim, they're very strict. Everything has to be exactly like this, and they're hyper, and they're nervous, and they don't make a good presentation. They're nervous people. So that's what the Gemara says. If a person is easy, if a Talmud Chacham is easy going, not so, doesn't have to be exactly like this.
Soft,
yeah. A normal person is soft, a Talmud Chacham, and the necklace sometimes will be visible, sometimes will not be visible. Let's say Rashi says the person has a beard. So sometimes he picks up his head, so then you see a necklace. And if when he has his head down, so he won't see the front of the necklace. So sometimes the Talmud Chacham is sometimes nearer, but sometimes ain't a nearer. So then the pasuk says Talmudim miskayim biyada. Then he will be successful in liman hatorah. But in lav, if he's very strict, he's very rigid, and he's not, people don't like him because he's not muriv amabrius. Or if he's always speaking in public. He never. You have to sit and learn. You can't keep on speaking in public. A person has to sit and learn sometimes. Once in a while, give a public shiur. So if he's always nearer in public, then he's not going to be matzlich in learning. If he's sometimes nearer, sometimes ain't nearer, sometimes he sits in the base medrash and he learns, and sometimes he services the community by giving a public shiur, so then it'll be Talmud and miskayim the other. But if he's always nearer, or if he's not rough, ala tzavah, he's not like the necklace that's loose around the neck, his personality he's a nervous wreck, so then he won't be matzlich in learning. Then the Gemara says another condition that's necessary in order to be matzlich and learning. V'omer Ablozo, the same Ablozo has another comment. Ma'ay dechsiv in Shir Hashirim, also psukim speaking about Liman HaTorah, l'choyev karugas haboisem. Shir Hashirim is a mashal describing the love of the boy and the girl for each other, and it's only a mashal of the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael. So part of the psukim are describing the love that we have for Liman HaTorah. So the pasuk says, if a person is lechoyev, if his cheeks are karugas habaisem, so that's a wonderful description of the boy. So the Gemara says this is referring to one who's im adam im meisim adam atzmo karugazu. Aruga is when you have a farm and you plow and you plant things in a row. You don't just throw seeds all over the place in a sloppy arrangement. You have it in a mesuda dike way. So usually on a farm, people will be walking on the arugas, not after things are growing, means before you even planted it. So people will walk there. So if a person is humble enough, is meisim atzmo karuga, he's not a balgaiver. Meisim atzmo karuga, zo shakal doshim bo, that everyone steps on it. So he's not always insisting. He's not always makban on his covered. So number one, if he's karuga. Number two, arugas habosim. What is a bosim? And he's also kibosim zeshakom is basmin. But if you have perfume or you have besamim, so not only do I have hano, if I open up the jar, everybody else will have hano also. They'll all smell it. So tamachachem has to be one who shares his knowledge with other people. The chachamim were always complaining about those talmid chachamim who were hoarding all the knowledge. They didn't want to share the knowledge with the hamaynam. So the Gemara says that's a terrible thing. So the Gemara says, if you have a Talmud Chacham who's prepared to share his knowledge with others, he wants to teach the Torah to other people, and he's not a Balgaiva, then the Torah will be miskayim biyoda. Then he will be successful, and he won't forget his learning. Talmudim miskayim bim lav, if he becomes a Balgaiva, or if he doesn't want to share his knowledge with other people, then Talmudim miskayim. It's another condition. See, the Gemara before only had one condition, by pronouncing it with your lips and hearing with your ears. Now the Gemara is saying these additional conditions shouldn't be a balgaiva, and he should share his knowledge with other people. V'amar Ablozer, keep on quoting many members of Ablozer. Ma'idichsiv, the pasuk describes the luchos. The luchos were luchos or evan. The Torah should be like evan. In what way? In modern meis matz atzmo es luchoyev ke evan zu she'ein on nimches then talmudim miskayim. Stone is very hard to wear it down. So what does it mean? If a person allows people to tread on him and he doesn't get ruined, he's not an arrogant person, he's humble, and he lets other people insult him a little bit, and he doesn't get all touchy about the abuse. So then the Torah would be miskayim biyod. V'im lav, ein talmudim miskayim biyod. Also, the importance of humility. How does Rashi say in the top of the second column? Even though people keep on stepping on the stones, but the stones are not worn out. Kach l'choyov, this luchos or evan, the Gemara is reading luchos, means the two tablets of stone. The Aseres Adibus were engraved on two stones. So the Gemara is taking it as if the word luchos means l'choyov, as if his cheeks, the person who learns Torah, is like evan. And what way is it like evan? He allows other people to be doris on him, and he doesn't get insulted, and he's giving of himself. He's not a balgaiva. He wants to hoard all the knowledge himself. He's prepared to share with other people, and also he will review. He chazes all of everything that he learns. That's what Mar is going to repeat that several times here. It's important to review. A person shouldn't always rely on his memory. Think he doesn't want to chazer any turn. No, when a person learns, he should always chazer. The importance of Chazor. So the Gemara says if a person's cheeks are like Evan, that he doesn't get exhausted from Chazara. And it's like Evan in the sense that it doesn't bother him that people are stepping on him. And he's a humble person, he shares his knowledge with others. These three will contribute to his Hatzlocha in remembering his Torah. He'll be miskind the other. Then they quote the next memo of Rav Loza, also about the Torah. The Amar Rav Loza, Maidichsib Choris al Aluchais. This is a description of the Luchas Rishonais. So he says, El Malila Nishtabru Luchas Rishonais. If the Luchas Rishonais would not have been smashed, La Nishtakcha Torah Meisrael Choris means that the Aseres Adus were engraved through and through. So something that's engraved, something that's written on a piece of paper, so you can get one out. But it's something that's engraved. How can it get worn out? So he says the Torah would never have been forgotten from the Jewish people if Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have smashed the Luchas Rishonis. The whole Torah would have been as if it were engraved on the souls of the Jewish nation. We would never have forgotten the Torah. But what happened was the Chet HaEgel and then Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchas. So the Luchas Shnis were also engraved, but it wasn't that Bechina. It wasn't like Choros al Luchas. Wasn't the same as Luchas Rishonis. Then he has, the Gemara has another member, Avracha B'Yankov Amar, En Koluma V'Loshen Sholetus Behem. If not for the fact that the Luchas Rishonis were smashed, the Jewish people would never be subjected to any control of any other nation. The Jewish people would have always had been free. Like it says, Chorus Al-Aluchas Al-Tikri Chorus Al-Acheres. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos also has Al-Tikri Chorus Al-Acheres, but the Mishnah says it in a different sense, En Lechacha Ben Chorin El-Misha Oisik Batara. How does a person free himself from being controlled by his Yetzer Hara? Many people are controlled by the Yetzer Hara. They don't control them, so they're not in control of themselves. So the only way to discipline yourself is by Liman HaTorah, and then we'll be able to control our Yetzer Hara. The Gemara here is saying, Al Tikre Choris Al Acheres, Cheres for the Jewish people. They will never be subjected to the Malchus of any other nation if not for the fact that the Luchas Rishonis is smashed. That's the Gemara. En koluma v'loshen sholetus b'hem shenemar choros al tikri choros al acheres cheres for the Jewish people. That's what the Beis Halevi has a whole drasha that Rav Soloveitchik gives to say over every so often. In the end of this, the Beis Halevi has Shalos and Tshuvos, the big volume is of Beis Halevi. So in the end of the second volume, it has several about 20 drushas, long drushas, very long drushas, goes on and on and on and on. So he has one drasha about this. I think it's the last drasha in the Sefer. So he says the original Aseres Adibros, the original Luchas had Kol HaTorah Kula written on it, not just the Aseres Adibros. He quotes passages from the Zohar like that. He quotes Gemaras like that. The Gemara says words that were written on the Luchas that are not part of the Aseres Adibros. The Tosfos asks on that Gemara Masechah Shabbos, what are they picking words that don't appear on the Aseres Adibros? The Tosfos, they just gave a word as a mashal. But it didn't really mean it was on the Luchas. So the Beis Halevi quotes from the Zohar, the Mother Midrashim, no, the Luchas Rishonis had Kol HaTorah Kula written on it, and according to the original plan, there wasn't going to be any Torah Shebal Peh at all. Everything was going to be Torah Shebichsav. You would never have to look anything up in the Mishnah Brura, in the tiny letters, Sharetzim, Bir Halacha. Just look in the Luchas, and all the answers are there. Every single Shaila would be found there on the Luchas. But then the Rabbanu Shel Olam, when the Jewish people sinned with the Chet HaEgel, the Rabbanu Shel Olam at that time decided that we will be subject as a punishment for sinning with the Chet HaEgel. It'll be Umah V'Loshen Sholetus Behem. If it would have been the Madrega of Luchas Rishonis, if he wouldn't have sinned, if the Luchas Rishonis wouldn't have been broken, then it would have been En Kol Umah V'Loshen Sholetus Behem. So once the Rabbanu Shel Olam decided that we're going to be subject to the, will be subservient to the other Umas Olam, so they will take the Torah, Shebich Sab, and they'll be able to claim that they're the Amar Nivcha, that they're the Balabatim on the Torah. The Catholics for many years said that they're the Amar Nivcha, the Jewish people, I think they still claim like that. They claim the Jewish people lost their status as Amar Nivcha because we rejected Osa Huish. And they're the Amar Nivcha, and they have the Torah. So we say, but we have the Torah Shebal Peh that they don't have. So that's what Tosfos in Gittin on Daf Samach quotes a Medrash like that, commenting on the pasuk, Echtov la ruba tayrasi halokamozar nechshavu. The Rabbanu Shlom says a pasuk in Navi, if I would have written down kol haTorah kula in Torah Shebichzav, so the Jewish people would be kamozar nechshavu. The Umas Olam will be shoylet on the Jews. The Nazis were shoylet on the Jews, and they were torturing the Jews, and they said, you still believe that you're the Amar Nivcha? We're the Amar Nivcha. We're the superior race. And the Catholics claim that they're the Amenichah when they were never oppressing the Jewish people. So the Ummah Solomon will claim that they're the Amenichah, they even have the Torah. But the Jewish people have the Torah Shabbal Peh that they don't have. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if everything will be written down, so there won't be anything unique that the Jewish people have to demonstrate, to indicate that we are the Amenichah, that there's something special to us. So that's why, according to the original plan, it was going to be Taka Enkodom, Veloshin, Sholetis, Behem. So Kolot Tarakula was written down. The Goyim will not be Sholet on the Jewish people. They won't be able to claim that they're the Amenichah. But after the Chetu Egel and after the Shvira Saluchais, so then when the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not going to write over everything that was there. So the Beis Halevi says, but that means is the two midrashim. What happened? Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchas. That's what the Gemara says. Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchas. Then there's another midrash that says the osias were parchas boavir. The osias flew out by themselves. The osias flew out, so the luchas became so heavy. Like this, there was so much empty space because all of the ice now became so heavy. So Moshe Rabbeinu dropped the luchas; he couldn't hold it; it was so heavy. So which was it? Whether the osias parchas or weren't parchas? So the Beis Halevi says it's both together. Originally, Kol HaTarkula was written, and then after the Jewish people sinned with the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu is coming down from Har Sinai, so he sees that they're sinning. So the whole everything, other than the Aseres HaDibros, flew away, and everything became so heavy. And then he was angry at Bnei Yisrael. Why they sinned? So he smashed the luchas. So they're both true. It became very heavy because osias parchos, the rest of the Torah, the whole Torah shebichsav, the whole Torah shebapeh, everything else other than the aseres adibris. The second time around, the Ribbono Shel Olam says psoluchos ne luchos karishonim. This time I'm only going to write those osias that were present at the time that he smashed the luchas. At the time that you smashed it, there were only aseres adibros because everything else flew out already. That's the Beis Halevi's interpretation of that, of all of these midrashim. That's the Rav Soloveitchik used to say all over. The Beis Halevi has this, and Rav Shlomo Levilner has. Why do we have two holidays to celebrate Kabbalah Sater? We have Shavuos, and we say in the davenings Ma Matan Taraseinu. And then the Mishnah says the last daf in Tainis, Loher Lahem Li Yisrael Yamim Tovim, the two jolliest days in the calendar were Yom HaKippurim and Chamishasa Ba'av, that the girls would dance and the boys would make shiduchim. So the Mishnah says Bishleima Yom HaKippurim, we understand what they're celebrating about. It's Yom Shinitn Baluch HaShniyas. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from HaSinai with the second lucha, so we understand why it's a day of celebration. But what was Chamishasa Ba'av all about? So the Gemara goes into a whole discussion, different the historical background. So from the Gemara would appear Yom Kippur, we understand why we celebrate Yom Kabbalah Satara. So that's what the Mefarshim ask. Why do we need two Yomim Tovim to celebrate Kabbalah Satara? Shavuos is Man Matan Torah Sein, and Yom Kippur is also Kabbalah Satara. Why do you need two Yomim Tovim? So there Reb Shlomo Levilner writes, and the Beis Halevi writes also, he say one is on Torah Shebichsav, one is Torah Shebalpeh. So what is that? The kasha was, what do you need two? So they gave an arbitrary test. There are two parts to the Torah, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebalpeh. So on Shavuos we celebrate Kabbalah Torah Shebichsav, and on Yom Kippur you celebrate Kabbalah Torah Shebalpeh. Stam arbitrary. So the Beis Halevi says no. So the Beis Halevi says no. It's more than that. Shavuos was before the Luchos Rishonis. The original plan was that there wasn't going to be any Torah Shebalpeh. There was only going to be Torah Shebichsav. Why? Because it's going to be, according to the original plan, it's going to be Chorus. Cheres for the whole Jewish people, Einum of Eloshon Sholet is Ben. So no nation of the world will be able to be Sholet on the Jewish people and claim that they are the Amanivch and we are not. So there's nothing wrong here. Have Kol HaTorah Kula written Torah Shemichzav. What do we need a Torah Shemichzav for? Everything originally was going to be Torah Shemichzav. But after the Chet HaEgel, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam decided part of the punishment is going to be that it is going to be Ummah Veloshon Sholet is Bem, and the Ummah Solom will claim that they are the Amanivcher. So what are we going to have to demonstrate that we are the Amanivcher? So that's what the Medrash says, the Torah Shebal Peh. So from that time on, the Ribbono Shel Olam decided you have to have two parts. There has to be Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. So when Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippur was the Yontav of Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh. Because the second time around, when he came down with the luchas, it didn't have Kol HaTorah Kula. It only had Aseres HaDibros written on it. That's where Rav Soloveitchik added on that in Parshas Achrei Mos, the Torah describes the Seder HaVeda that the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur, and it's not written correctly. Rashi Achumish quotes the Gemara in Yuma, Kol HaMikra Kula Ksuv Al HaSeder Chutz MiMikra Zeh. One of the psukim is out of order. If you don't have the Torah Shebal Peh, you'll do the Avodah wrong. Yom Kippur is the Yontav of Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh. So the Chumash wrote it a little bit in a inaccurate fashion. Medaf Onkumen to the Torah Shebal Peh to know how to do the Avodah. Based on the simple description, the way he says the Chumash, it sounds like the Avodah is divided on Yom Kippur into three parts. The first part, Big Day Zohav. The middle part, Big Day Lovon. And the last part, Big Day Zohav. The Gemara says, no. It's the Halacha L'Moshe Messina says divided into five parts. Big Day Zohav, Big Day Lovon, Big Day Zohav, Big Day Lovon, Big Day Zohav. So one of the psukim is out of order in the Chumash. The Avodah is done and the Big Day Lovon are broken into two parts with an Avodah, Big Day Zohav in the middle. That's where Rav Soloveitchik said, why did the Torah write this in such an abnormal fashion to teach you that on Yom Kippur, Medaf, Yom Kippur is when the Torah Shebal Peh was given. If you don't use Torah Shebal Peh, you will misread the Psukim in the Chumash. Shavuos is the Yontav of Kabbalah's Torah Shebichsav, because according to the first Mahadur, according to the first plan, there wasn't going to be any Torah Shebal Peh. There wouldn't have been any need for the Torah Shebal Peh. If ain't no more Loshon Shelet is behem. This is all based on the Beis Halevi. That long drushin, then he said. This is the Gemara. This is the Gemara that the Beis Halevi quotes. Amar Rav Masna, my dechsiv, what do you learn out from the Pasuk? The Pasuk is describing the Masois of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. They went from one location to the other location to the other location. They were Membeis Masois. There were 42 locations where they traveled. So the Pasuk said they went Mimimidbar, Matan, Mimatan, Nachliel, Nachliel, Bamois, went from location A to B to C to D. So what else could the Pasuk teach us? Mimidbar, Matan. So he says, not only is it telling us about the Masois and the Midbar, it's telling us about Limud HaTorah. If he won't be Megizdaita, if he won't be arrogant, if he'll be humble, that's how the Mishnah lists off in the Menchaz Dram Shatar Niknesbem. One of the crucial points is Anova. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Talmud Chacham, he was the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, because he was Anov Mikol Adam. The more humble a person is, so the more successful he will be. And Liman Hatar, that's how the Gemara said earlier at the end of the first parak in Erevin. The many disputes between the Beisham and the Beisilol, Ruba de Ruba, most of the time, we pass them like Beisilol. So the Gemara says, first of all, because they were in the majority, Acharam Lahatas, and secondly, because they were more humble than the Beisham. Doesn't mean Beisham were arrogant, but the Beisilol were even more humble than the Beisham. And the one is more humble, so the reward is that we paskin like them. No, it's not a reward. The person who is more humble will probably be zeche more to lamita shel Torah. When a person is arrogant, so he always has his own agenda, and he's always pushing in a certain direction. And because he already made up his mind before he researched the topic, so he won't research it honestly. And if a person is humble, he will be matzliach more in learning. So that's what the Gemara is emphasizing here. If a person is learning, is midbar, meisematzma ki midbar, shakol doshim bo, he's humble, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him the Torah b'matana. Talmudim is kambiyara, then the Torah, he'll be kind of the Torah b'matana. V'im lava, but if he'll be arrogant, then he won't be kind. Ain't Talmudim is kambiyara. So the Gemara tells a fascinating story. Once Rava was to cricked with Rav Yosef, he ba'avol Rav Yosef something. Kimot amali yomet gipurim, when he came erev Yom Kippur, so Rav said, I better go apologize by Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef was a sagi nohar, he couldn't see. So Rav came to his home, he's going to apologize. Omar ezel afayse, I better go and apologize. Ozal ashkeche l'shamay, so he comes to Rav Yosef's home, he said Rav Yosef had a gabai to take care of his needs. The komazigle kasa. So the gabai is preparing a drink. Drink of coffee, whatever, no, he wants a drink of wine. So they used to have yayin mozer. The wine was so sharp you couldn't drink it the way it was. They had to mix in a certain amount of water. So there were different mezigas hayayin. So there were different people would be mezig yayin differently. So the Gemara talk, some people would put in 3 units of water in 1 unit of wine, some would put in 4 units of water in 1 unit of wine. By us, if you put in 3-4 units of water, you say shahako. Because the wine, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that our wine, yene shalonu, and not so chazokim.
It's a
Yeah, it's already mazik. It's a shame mazik. Yeah. So it's not shy. So Rava came to the home. Rav Yosef wants to apologize. So he sees the Gabbai of Rav Yosef is preparing to give him a drink of wine. So Rava says, "Let me, I want to serve Rav Yosef. I have to speak to him." So Rava did the mezigim. Ashkech l'shamei. So Rava meets the Gabbai of Rav Yosef, the Kamazik Lekas. He's preparing a drink of wine. Amalei, have leave amzige. Give me the wine, give me the water. I'll prepare it, then I'll serve it. I'll give it to the rabbi. Mazge kidetaimei. So Rava mixed the wine with the water the way he usually did. He had a different way of doing mezigah. I forgot already. Either he did 3-in-1 or he did 4-in-1. The Ganzer Welt did one way and he did another way. And he came and he brought the drink to Rav Yosef. And he didn't. Rav Yosef was a Sagi Nohar. So he didn't see who it was. He didn't realize that it was Rava. So he said, Bor Piagof, and he drinks. But so he said, hey, Domi ha mezigah lemezigah de Rava brei de Rav Yosef bachame. This is the way Rava always makes wine. So he says, that's me. So Rava said, that's me. I came. It's Erev Yom Kippur. I wanted to talk to you. Amalei, Anohu. That's, I am Rava. Amalei. So he doesn't speak about the fact that he ba'avled him. He doesn't. He says, I want to talk and learning, please. He says, don't sit down until you give me pshat in this pasuk. Rava had ba'avled Rav Yosef and he came to apologize. So Rav Yosef doesn't remind him of the fact that he ba'avled him. He forgot it better. He says, Amalei, lo teisav akarach adam afarshesli hani kroy. Don't sit down until you explain the following psukim. The psukim just list off names of cities that they travel from location A to location B to location C to location D. We don't know where the locations are. Must be that it's teaching us something more than that. What is it trying to tell us? What does it mean? So Rava responds, the additional, the simple level of interpretation is that these are locations. But he says, in addition to that, the pasuk is driving at the following. If the person will be humble, then it's going to be matana. Then HaKadosh Baruch will be nechol okel. HaKadosh Baruch will take him as his nachla. The Baruch Shalom will be very close to him. Shenema, the next phrase in the pasuk, will be matana nachlio. The Kevin Shenachal, okay, if the Baruch Shalom will take this Talmud Chacham who has been successful in learning. Baruch Shalom will take him and be close with him. Behechrech will be Oyle L'Gdula. He'll be appointed to a high position and people will respect him. The only thing is that power corrupts. So if the person is going to be Oyle L'Gdula, then it may get to his head and then it may decide to become arrogant, then he's going to lose everything that he got. Once, that's what he says, V'negis Libon, what's going to be... Let's see. The Kim Shinachal Akel or Ligdula Shinema Minachli Obama. So he'll be elevated to a high position. The people will be mechabed him. Now the question is, if the power is going to corrupt, so even though he started off as a wonderful tzaddik, a wonderful Talmud Chacham, now he can lose everything. Now the Megis Libo, if he's going to become arrogant now that he's a Ligdula, the end will be a Kodesh Bochum Mashpila Shinema. Bamas Hagai. A guy is a valley. The Rebbe Shlomo will see to it. He wants his Talmud Chacham to be mechubad. Everyone should honor him. But if he's going to become arrogant, he's going to knock him down. And that's going to be the end of the story. So the Gemara says, no. If a person will be chayzeh b'tshuva and return back to the state of humility, so then he will return back to his position of gedula. Chayzeh b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu Magbir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will elevate him out of the depths of the valley. Shenema, a different pasuk. This pasuk is already not in Bamidbar describing the masoas one to the other, to the other, to the other. This is in Yishai, where it says, Kol Geyi Nasei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll see to it that the valleys will be elevated. So this valley also, when a Talmud Chacham was Megis Daito, he became arrogant and he lost his whole Gedula, he lost his whole Kavod. If he'll be Chayzeh B'Tshuva and regain the humility, the midah of humility that he had, then he will be restored back to his position of Kavod. So these are all to be Matzlech and learning in all of the above, not just enough to recite the learning B'Kol. Has to have humility, has to be share his knowledge with others, and all of the other men shouldn't be too strict, easygoing, and so on. Omar Avuna Mai Dichsiv, a pasuk in Tilim, Chayoscha Yoshvu Bo, Tochem Mitayvoscha La'ani Elokim. The second half of the pasuk, we understand what it means. Tochem Mitayvoscha La'ani Elokim, the Rebbeinu Shalom will prepare something in his kindness and his goodness for the poor fellow. Tochin elakim tochin b'tayvascha la'ani. What does the first half of the pasuk say? There's someone who did something, chayoscha yoshvu ba. If a person does something, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay him. He's, apparently the person is doing something correct. The person is doing something proper, something good. Chayoskop, something like a behema, a chaya. If he acts like a chaya, well, he acts like a chaya, what does he do? Acting like a chaya. There's some acting like a chaya that's proper. So chayoscha yoshvu bo, if the person will act like a chaya in a proper fashion, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward him. Tochem teroscha la'ani elokim. So what does he do like a chaya? So the Gemara has two versions. In modern meisa matzme kachaya zu, shodoreses v'yocheles. A chaya, you see, we buy meat in the butcher shop and we put it in the freezer. And then when we're interested in eating, so you take it out and you prepare the food. We don't shecht an animal and start ripping apart and eating it right away. That's what chayas do. A chaya, when the chaya is hungry, he rips apart a calf, a sheep, and he eats it right away. So this is considered the proper action. If a person acts like a chaya, he's doris v'yochel, he rips apart an animal and he eats it right away. So if a person acts like that, then he will be rewarded by the Rabbanu Shlomo. What is he referring to? What is he doing? So Rashi interprets over here, the person hears a shear, and right away he goes and he chazes the shear. Person learns something, right away he chazes. What is the rush to chaza? Wait till tomorrow. He didn't forget it yet, no? He knows he's going to forget it, so he wants the chaza right away. So this is the first suggestion that the Gemara gives. If he acts like a behema in the sense, chaya doreses v'acheles, the chaya doesn't wait for later. The chaya eats its prey right after he kills its ear. A person hears a shear and he chazes the shear right away. That's amayla. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward him. It'll be tochem teroschel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will prepare some reward for him in a proper fashion. In Ika Diamri, another version has it, but not the doreses v'achel, is not in the sense that he chazes right away, but rather shemasreches v'achelas. When a behema kills it, when a chaya kills its prey, so it'll schlep the dead calf or the dead sheep through blotte, through a swampy area. It'll get all filthy and dirty until he comes to the cave where he wants to eat it, and that'll eat it over there. So if a Talmud Chacham is not makbid on his kavod, he'll do things in a sloppy fashion in order not to be makbid, so then he will be rewarded. So what do you mean he'll do things in a masreches v'ocheles? Just like the chayo will schlep the dead prey through the jungle, or through a swampy area, until it finds a nice cave to eat in, so the Talmud Chacham won't be makbid. So Rashi is not happy about that. Rashi says, what do you mean? The Chazal makbid that the Talmud Chacham has to be dressed just so, and he has to eat in a proper fashion. He shouldn't be sloppy, and he has to speak properly. We just heard about the Bnei Yehuda, Bnei Glila, you have to be makbid in the way you speak and the way you dress and so on. So what do you mean a Talmud Chacham is not makbid on his kavod and he does things in a sloppy fashion? So Rashi thinks that it cannot mean like that. So what does it mean? Means he's mevaze himself al divrei Torah. He's prepared to do things that are a little bit humiliating because he wants to learn Torah. It doesn't mean masreches that he's going to eat his food on a dirty plate and he's going to eat with their dirty clothing. It doesn't mean like that. It means he does things. Let's say an older person will attend a shiur given by a younger person. I'm going to listen to his shiur. He was a Talmud of mine. A Talmud of mine, but he knows how to learn better than me. So I'll listen to the shiur, and I'll gain from the shiur. So if a person, a Talmud Chacham, just like the Behemah, is not makbid on its covet, masreches v'ocheles, so the Talmud Chacham is not makbid on his covet, he'll be mechazer achalim and atoreh, even in a fashion that's not really lefich vodo, because he's so eager to learn, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward him. So that's also about the midah of humility. A person has to show humility when it comes to learning Torah, and about the importance of Chazara. The rest is V'achelis, Rashi interpreted, that he's going to review the learning right away. I remember there was, when I was in the first year of high school, so my Rebbe was Rabbi Tendler, Rabbi Moshe David Tendler. So that summer the summer that I turned 14, after the first year of high school, Lakewood Yeshiva was very tiny, and I think there were less than 100 students. Less than 200 students for sure. Maybe even less than 100 students. So Rabbi Tendler sent a whole group of boys, maybe 10 or 15 boys from the yeshiva. I was the youngest one. The others were in college already. So he sent a whole group of boys to give chizuk to the Lakewood Yeshiva. So we're just there in the summertime. So remember, our Baron Kotler gave a shiur on Shabbos. The whole week he was running around in New York raising money for the yeshiva, raising money for Chinuch Hatzmoy. And he was only there on Shabbos when he couldn't raise any money. So he gave a shiur on Shabbos afternoon. So I didn't understand one word. I was only 14. I wasn't even 14 years old yet. I didn't understand one word. So he spoke Yiddish. No, the Yiddish I understood. That wasn't a problem. But he had a litvus havara, so, and he gave a pilpul to answer Rabbi Kivega's kasha on the Gemara. I didn't know what the Gemara said. So I didn't know what Rabbi Kivega is, and I couldn't begin to. How am I going to understand what his teretz is? I didn't get the first base. So after he finished the shiur, most of the people did not understand the shiur. For Rabban Kotel, most of the people never understood the shiur. So mamish techdei deep after the shiur was over, everyone ran to the back. There was a little base medrash, maybe so big. Everyone ran to the back. So yes, where's everybody running? So they said, Yankel Shif says the Chazar Shif. Yankel Shif at that time was single. He was the best Talmud in Lakewood. He used to prepare the shiur with Rabban Kotler. And after Rabban Kotler finished the shiur, Turkadei Dibur, everybody ran to the back room and he said a Chazar Shif. So I ran to the back room to listen to the Chazar Shif. I didn't understand one word that he said either. But that was mamish like this Gemara. The Gemara says, the Chaya is Doreses V'Yocheles. It rips apart its prey and it eats it right away. So the Talmud Chacham should learn, and immediately after he learns, he should chazer right away. He shouldn't wait till the next day to chazer. He should chazer right away to make sure he doesn't miss one of the points that he heard in the shiur. Chazer is very important. We don't chazer, we'll forget everything. Then the Gemara continues with the praises of Liman HaTorah in the last line. Amar Abchei Barabu Amar Abyechem Maidich Siv Noitzit Te'eno Yochal Piri Olsa Mishlei. It's assumed that this has to do with learning Torah as well. The one who takes care of the fig tree, Noitzit Te'eno, will have the right to eat the peiris later on. So this has to do with learning Torah. So the Gemara wants to know, Lama Nimshle Divei Torah Kiteino. Why does the Pasuk in Mishlei compare Liman HaTorah to eating figs? Mateina Zu, the Gemara has a tradition that the figs on the tree do not all ripen at the same time. So you don't harvest all the figs at the same time. One day you'll pluck off 25 figs, the next week later you pluck off another 25 figs, Nick later another 25. You don't pluck them all off at the same time. So the Te'ena tree calls Man Shadim and Mashmish, but every week, every other day, Motziba Te'enim, you find some new Te'enim that just became ripe, they're just ready to be eaten. The same is true of Kibbe Torah, calls Man Shadim, Hoge Bohem, Motziba Hem Tam. When you learn a Gemara the first time, so you get one insight. When you learn the same Gemara another time, you get another insight. When you learn the same Gemara a third time, each time you'll gain some new insight. You'll see something new that you didn't notice before. So that's why the Torah is compared to the Te'ena tree, because every week you'll find some new figs that are just royal achila, they just became ripe now. Same in Torah. It's not yet Higia Hazman for all of the secrets of the Torah to be revealed to you. Every time you learn this Torah, every time you review it, the Gemara is emphasizing the significance of Chazar, and you shouldn't just think that it's a boring procedure, you just review the same thing. No, every time you review it, you'll gain some new additional insights. That's a famous comment on a different pasuk. The Gemara is going to quote the pasuk in Mishlei, the next pasuk. The next pasuk speaks about learning Torah, that deha yiravucha b'chaleis, that the breasts of the Torah will satisfy us at all times. So the Gemara says, what is it referring to? What do you mean? So the Gemara said a few lines later, lama nimshlu divrei Torah kidad, why is learning Torah compared to the breast of a woman? There's only so much milk that the mother has in her body. So the Gemara says, no, but if the baby is going to be sucking from the mother, the baby will always find some more milk. When a person learns something and he reviews it a second time and a third time and a fourth time, when a person reviews it again and again, he'll see some new insight into the Liman HaTorah. The Gemara is emphasizing the significance of Chazar. And then that's when you get to the end of that pasuk. The end of the pasuk concludes that deha yiravucha b'chaleis. The breasts of the Liman HaTorah will always satisfy us. Whenever we learn, we'll always find some new insight. We'll always gain some new insight. Rav Soloveitchik was always like that. When he gave his shiur on a Gemara, on Yeridaya, on anything, on Chumash, every time he would give a different presentation. And he wouldn't be interested. He always got angry. Don't tell me what I said last time. I want to look at it today. And every time there would always be some new insight, some new twist that he hadn't noticed before. Remember many times he had to learn Yeridei. He was unhappy why the boys learned Yeridei on their own. Because when he would give the when they memorized Yeridei on their own for the smicha, so they didn't really understand what was going on. So he would always ask a question that wasn't explicit in Yeridei. So how did it mean Medama Milsa and Milsa? So often they didn't understand what the dinim were based on, so they wouldn't be able to figure out what the din is in a case that was not explicit, because they were just memorizing. So he said he doesn't like the whole system. He insisted there has to be a shir in Yeridei. So no one wanted to give a shir in Yeridei. So he was stuck. It was his suggestion. He had to give the shir. So the smicha program used to be a 2-year program. So he had to give a shir every other year in Yeridei. Every other year there was a group of boys who never heard Yeridei. Then they made it a 3-year program. So he only had to give the shir in Yeridei every third year. Didn't have to give every other year. But Bifal is Asher. He already gave a shir in Yeridei 15 times. So the first couple of times that he learned Yeridei, he hardly ever learned the Taz. So he would only learn the Shach. He would learn the Shach and the Bir Agro. Then after around the 6th or the 7th time or the 8th time, he would start learning Rabbi Kivegas on the bottom and the Pisrei Chuvas. Then the 10th time and the 11th time, he started to read the Yad Avraham, going to the tiny letters on the side. The Yad Avraham and the Yad Avraham, he started looking in the back a little bit. The Tzvila Tzadik, he would start learning more. Every time he learned Yeridei, he found some new point that he never noticed before. And the Gemara was always like that. He didn't want the students to tell him what he said last time on the Gemara. He wanted to work it out this time to see what new insight. He would always quote this Gemara, that Kalzmat Shadinoik, when the Tinoik is Mamashmesh B'dad Ha'aim, he'll always find Chalov. So when you learn Torah, you'll always find some new insight. So this is the last comment that the Rabbi Shmuel Ben Achmeni has on that Pasuk in Mishlei. The Pasuk describes Liman HaTorah, Ayelas Ahavim V'yalas Chen. It's like a gazelle who is beloved by her, the gazelle is in the cave of a deer, some kind of an animal like that. So somehow the Pasuk in Mishlei describes the gazelle as being more beloved by her zachar than other behemoths. Why? Lama nimshlu divetar layelis. Why is the love that we have for learning Torah compared to the love of the zachar with the nekeva by the ayelis? Loimalach. When the girl has the biri shayna, so the rechem is tsar. So when they have the biri shayna, the gemara has a lashon einisha kareses brisa lemisha oisa keli. Whoever does the biri shayna, that's whom she falls in love with. That's, they love each other very much. So by all the other behemoths, so by human beings, after you break the bisulim, so there's no more pesach dochuk. So the biashnia, later on, it's not going to be so narrow. The gazelle is not like that. Ma ayolo. The gazelle is rachma tsar. The rechem is always tsar. It's always the zachar always loves his gazelle as if it would be the biri shayna, because the rechem is always going to be narrow. After the Torah, the people that learn Torah love the Torah so much they don't learn it the first time, and then later on they're so used to it, like a couple, they're married already 50 years, so they're used to each other, they don't see any new excitement in life and in marriage. No, it's like the excitement of having biri shayna even 50 years later. Talmud Chacham learns Torah and he learns the same Gemara over and over and over again, he'll always see something new, there'll always be some new insights. Kol Shah V'Shah, the Torah is Chaviv Alam Deyem Kishor V'Shayna V'Yal Aschein Min Shem Al Aschein Alam Deha. And the people, not only that they love the Torah like one who is just newly beds, but the Limer HaTorah will be Mal Aschein to those who learn the Torah. And then the pasuk concludes that Deha Yeravucha B'Chalei, it's the same thing, because every time you learn Torah you will gain some new insights. Then that pasuk concludes B'Yahavosa Tishge Tomid. The love that one has for Liman HaTorah will cause him to be tishge, cause him to be absent-minded and forget about taking care of normal things in life. So the Gemara talks about there are a lot of Talmid Chacham in all the generation. They're so crazy about learning Torah, they forget about everything else. The Gemara has different Mishalim. So the Gemara tells about Rab Loza Bar Pados. Amrav Rab Loza Bar Pados. So he lived in Eretz Yisrael in the city. He was a student of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was the first generation of Amoraim. Rabbi Loza Bados was the second generation, Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. So this Rabbi Loza Bados lived in Tzipori, and he would be Yoshev Yosik Batar B'Shuko Elyon. He would be learning in one location in the city, and he left his jacket in the other location in the city. Ganzen Vertrachten learning. And at the end of the day, when he had to go home, he would have to go start looking for his, where did I hang my coat? Where did I leave my hat? He was so involved in learning, so engrossed in learning, he forgot everything. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. The Parsha Bikurim, and this week in Parsha Kisavoy, Torah writes the din of Bikurim. So Bikurim only applies if the only applies to Shivas Aminim. It only applies if it grew on my farm. If you go to the store and you buy grapes, you don't bring Bikurim in the Beis Hamikdash. Only if you have a farm and it grew on your farm. So the Shabbos, what about Shnas HaShmita? You own the farm. The farm is yours, but the pears that grow are all Hefka. Is there a mitzvah to bring Bikurim? Reish is Bikuri Admoscha Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha. It says Admoscha, the Adoma has to belong to you. And you have to say Mikra Bikurim, you say Hinei Beis Reish is Pri Adoma Ashen Asata Li Hashem, which you gave me. What? Pri Hu Adoma? You gave me the Pri or you gave me the Adoma? Because in Shnas HaShmita the pear is a Hefker, but the Sod is not Hefker. So that's a big machlokes. Rashi on Parshas Mishpatim writes an innocent comment. Rashi says you have to bring Bikurim even in Shnas HaShmita. That's a quotation from the Mechilta. And other Rishayim say Punkt Fakert. In Shnas HaShmita you don't bring Bikurim. That's exactly the Shaila. You have to say, Bikurim is only if it grew on your farm. So the farm does belong to me. The farms don't become Hefka and Shmita. The Peris become Hefka. So is there a requirement that the pears have to belong to me, have to have grown on my farm, and Aroy Ashbach, I'm kind of the pears because the sod is mine, and that's why I'm chayvim bikurim. But if the pears are hefker, even though the farm is mine, there's no bikurim. So that's two opinions in the Rishonim too. It depends on the two girsas in the Mechilta and Parshas Mishpatim. The farmer has to bring the bikurim, and under most circumstances, sometimes you may be bikurim, sometimes you may be the eder curry. Some people bring Bikurim, but they don't have the ability to recite the Parsha Arami Avid Avi. And most of the people who bring Bikurim fulfill two mitzvahs. The Raman counts as two mitzvahs. One mitzvah, Havas Bikurim, and one mitzvah is Mikra Bikurim, to recite the Parsha. So the Mishnah presents a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether a ger is a Jewish, he's chayv in all the mitzvahs like anybody else. Can he? So the Mishnah says the ger is maybe the enikar. He has an obligation to bring Bikurim. But he can't recite Arami Avodah Vayerev Mitzrayim Vayogash Hashem. Our forefathers were slaves in Egypt and HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. What are you talking about? Your forefathers were not. Your forefathers were of the Avodah Zarah. You're not a biological descendant of the Jewish people. And you say at the end, Vayivyenu al Haaretz Hazos, and you say, Vayotzeyenu Hashem in Mitzrayim Vayivyenu al Haaretz Hazos. Can you say all of this? So that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. So the Mishnah says that the ger is mevi v'eino kori. Before Arami Abraham said, Higarta yom l'Hashem alakecha kivos yal haaretz asher nishba Hashem l'avoseinu los eslanu. Can he say l'avoseinu los eslanu? He's not a biological descendant from the Avos, and his forefathers didn't experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. The whole story is out of context. So that's how the Mishnah quotes. The majority of the Tanaim say a ger is mevi v'eino kori. And then Yerushalmi quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, no, that a ger is mevi v'eino kori because Avram Avinu's name was changed from Avram to Avraham. Originally he was only Av La'aram, and then Avraham, the name is changed, Av Hamon Goyim Nesaticha, means that Avram Avinu is the founding father of this Jewish religion, and whoever joins the Jewish religion, whoever is Mizgayer, is considered a bein. Is considered Bonim to Avraham Avinu, not biological Bonim. A ger is called Ben Avraham Avinu, right? And a ger is Bas Sari Imenu, right? So the Rambam paskins like that, Yerushalmi. Tosis and Bava Basra has two opinions about that. Same Shaila, when a ger davens, and he says, Shmar Asvat, they say, Lekeinu, Lekei Abiseinu, Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yankiv. So the Rambam paskins like the Tanar Abiyuda that yes. And the Mishnah says, no, a ger should say, Lekeinu, Lekei Avos Yisrael. Or when you say Shasan Nisim Labaseina, when you read the Megillah, or when you tzind on Chanukah, do you say Shasan Nisim Labaseina? Bayam Amayim is Manazeh. He's not a descendant of the people who experienced the Ness of Purim or the Ness of Chanukah. So we paskin like the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is like the Rambam, like that opinion of Tosfos, that the Ger not only refers to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Shenishbata Labaseina Las Islano, even the Ness of Chanukah, even the Ness of Purim. once the ger converts, he identifies with the Jewish people. So you can even say Shosin Nisim Lavasenu also. He identifies with the Jewish people, so in a sense, these are his obis. We don't place so much emphasis on being biological descendants. If one is a follower, one is a Talmud in the Hashkafa, in the Shita, so that's also called Banim. It's also considered Banim. That's how we pass it.
Where is it? Okay. You want to read?